This is Heavy Metal Hung from Clotheslines, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Here Jess Roar and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for alternate universe, everyone lives, nobody dies, making out, non-explicit sex, drinking, established relationship, platonic female-male friendships, summer, eating disorders, Laura Cunningham's A-plus parenting, swimming. What if they got to be normal and have normal post-high school shenanigans? For once. Like, the Hawkins of it all is still there, but we're glossing over it. The last character is Eddie's shitty van that the writers forgot about from episode 1. MVP of the fic. Eddie's never really thought of the back of his van as a particularly great place. He hasn't vacuumed it out in... ever. And his friends have definitely spilled their fair share of beer back there. It smells a little bit like stale cigarettes, and there's at least a dozen guitar picks lost forever in the seats and the carpet. But with Chrissy Cunningham writhing beneath him, his mouth on her throat, he's gotta say he can't think of any place closer to heaven. Pretty nice for a guy who's been told he's going to hell. She's got her fingers tangled up in his necklace, pulling him down to keep him in place as he nips at her collarbone, her other hand buried in his hair. She sighs his name. And that's fine. He could die right here and be perfectly content with that. Eddie catches her mouth with his, and Chrissy isn't a slouch at this herself. She's more than happy to beat him to the punch. Her tongue is talented as the rest of her. He's got his jacket spread out beneath her, because he knows the floor of the van isn't exactly clean, and like hell is he going to let Chrissy lay on some dirty old floor mat while he macks all over her like a horn dog. He's an asshole, not a prick. And as much as he wants to put his hands on every bit of her that he can reach, he's more concerned that she's having a good time, too. Which is why, the second she squirms uncomfortably, Eddie tears himself away. Chrissy blinks up at him, startled, and Eddie reaches out to tuck back a lock of her hair. She'd taken out her scrunchie earlier to let her hair fall loose. Laying back on a hair tie wasn't exactly comfortable. And hey, Eddie certainly wasn't going to complain about the way she'd looked shaking her hair free. "You okay?" he asks, concerned. "You got kind of..." He makes a vague gesture at her, unsure exactly how to explain what he means. Chrissy makes a face, looking a little embarrassed. "Yeah, I'm fine. Something stuck me in the back." She fishes under his jacket for whatever's digging into her. "Oh." Resting in her pretty little palm is one of his 20-sided dice. She brings it up to her face to look at it and gives him an amused look. "How long has this been missing, Munson?" "About 3 weeks," he admits, reaching out to take it from her. But Chrissy curls her fingers over it, pulling it out of his reach. She holds it over her head, her closed fist brushing the back of the seats. "Come get it," she challenges. And Jesus Christ, this girl is going to be the death of him. Somewhere in between pressing a kiss to the underside of her jaw and tracing his way up her outstretched arm with one hand to retrieve his die, Chrissy huffs a little laugh, and from the sound of it, Eddie knows he's in trouble. Good trouble. She snakes her wrist out of his grip just as he's about to claim victory, and when he ducks down to distract her with a kiss, she blocks him playfully, her soft palm covering his mouth. He can't help the confused and disappointed noise he makes, and Chrissy giggles. She holds the die out to him, eyes bright. "Roll for it." Eddie laughs as Chrissy removes her hand. "Roll to kiss my girlfriend?" he asks, and Chrissy bites her lip. He knows how much she likes hearing him call her that, and he likes saying it. Win-win. What happens if I roll a one? Chrissy raises her eyebrows at him, enjoying her own little game. Is the big bad dungeon master scared? I'm telling the kids, begging you not to talk about my freshman while my hand is up your shirt, Chris. He underlines his point by running his thumb just above the waistband of her shirt and relishes in the way that she shivers. But Chrissy is steel wrapped in silk, and she's determined to make him play along. Eddie knows he won't get his kiss until he does what she wants. God help him, that shouldn't be so attractive. So he heaves a put-upon sigh and makes a show of taking the die from her as Chrissy gives him a cat-like grin, incredibly pleased that she's won. Eddie drops the die by her head, and when she turns to see what it lands on, he moves, latching onto the delicate skin just under her ear and sucking at it hard. Eddie! She squeals, and it's half reprimand, half startled delight. That's cheating! I'm telling you! Oh. She breaks off with a moan, and Eddie smiles against her neck. Telling on you! He doesn't know where the die ends up after that, and quite frankly, he's too busy with more important things to care. She's an hour late. Chrissy is an hour late, and Eddie is losing his damn mind. Because Chrissy's never late. She believes that being punctual is about respecting other people's time, which is a sentiment he can't say he carries, but it is something he finds ridiculously charming about her. Chill the fuck out, Munson, Robin says, as she crosses in front of him, holding out a cold beer. He takes it and lets the condensation on the bottle cool his palms. She probably got stuck in traffic. Traffic. In Hawkins, he says, as deadpan as he can. Robin flops down into the deck chair next to him, one that Steve has dragged out to the fire pit at his parents' place. Sure, a flock of geese could be crossing the road, you don't know. Or, you know, kittens or something. Chrissy would totally stop for kittens. Cute, Buckley. Perfect their routine and take it on tour. He slams the cap off his beer with the edge of his chair, and obliges when Robin hands him hers to do the same. Steve and Nancy are doing their little will-they-won't-they dance in the kitchen, and Eddie's kind of fed up with it. He doesn't even know if she's actually broken up with Byers. The whole thing is getting on his nerves at this point. Or maybe he's just pissy because he's worried about Chris. He can admit that. Robin takes a sip of her beer and rolls her eyes. Your concern for her well-being is as nauseating as it is heartwarming, she says. Big, scary super senior actually gives a shit. Who knew? Eddie sneers at her, but he knows she won't take it personally. Robin's an odd duck, an outcast, kind of like him, and the fact they've somehow managed to become the favorite people of former Hawkins High jocks is something neither of them can quite figure out. And it's at that moment that something wound far too tightly in his chest finally uncoils, because Steve calls out from the back door, Hey Munson, your girl just pulled up. Quit being such a fucking downer. Eddie flips him off, as sure enough, Chrissy hops the low backyard fence, not even bothering with a gate. Oh, shit, Robin says, starting to get out of her chair. Eddie beats her to it, because he can also see the look on Chrissy's face as she storms toward him. It's very clear that she's been crying. Her expression is absolutely furious, and it looks so out of place on her sweet features, Eddie's heart drops horribly. Chris, what? Is as far as he gets, before her hands are on his jaw, pulling him down into a forceful kiss. Their teeth clack together painfully, and Eddie hisses against her mouth, surprised. He barely has a sense to hold his beer away from her, focused on not dumping it down Chrissy's shirt by accident. She pulls away, leaving Eddie incredibly dazed, and he can hear Robin behind them going, "Okay?" Chrissy wraps her arms around his waist, hides her face in his chest, and sighs. "Sorry." "What happened?" And he doesn't give a shit that all their friends can see him being a total fucking marshmallow as he holds her, running his free hand up and down her back. Chrissy needs him. They can eat shit if they say anything. "That boy is a horrible influence on you," Chrissy says, in the voice she uses to imitate her mother. And Eddie's heart twists. "Has he got you knocked up? Is that why you don't fit in your dress?" "Jesus Christ," Robin mutters, sounding just as horrified as Eddie is. Chrissy looks up at him, with mascara streaked down her cheeks. "I don't fit in my sundress because she took it in again," she says, sounding somewhere between fury and heartbreak. "But it's so much easier for her to point fingers." Eddie ducks down to press a kiss to her forehead. "Your mom is such a piece of work." Which is the rudest thing he's willing to say about Laura Cunningham out loud. Because despite the fact that she's pretty terrible at the job, she's still Chrissy's mom. And God knows how well aware he is that family can be complicated. She scrubs at her face irritably, and Eddie bats her hand out of the way to rub his thumb in gentle circles at the makeup stains instead. It doesn't do much, but he can say he tried. Chrissy smiles fondly at him and pulls away entirely. "Gonna go wash my face," she mutters, and Eddie lets her go. Robin is looking at him with a demented sort of glee on her face when he drops back into his chair, and Eddie glares at her. "You're such a teddy bear," she says, and cackles when he snarls at her. "You and Steve both, it's so good. I love it." "Don't put me in the same category as him." "Hey, Munson." Robin stretches her leg between their chairs and taps him on the knee with her sneaker. "It's a good thing to make girls feel safe, dumbass." She props her head up with her knuckles digging into her cheek, elbow propped on the armrest. "A lot of us don't have someone to cry on without them expecting something in return." Eddie narrows his eyes at her, but for once, it's not a response to her bullshit. "Buckley," he says slowly. "Do I need to beat someone's ass for expecting favors out of you?" And Robin snorts. "I was speaking figuratively. But it's very nice that you're willing to defend my honor, you fucking misguided and oddly sweet nerd." "Hey, is Chrissy okay?" Steve has at least 4 bags of chips piled up in his arms, his expression concerned. Nancy, trailing behind him, has a jug of orange juice dangling from one elbow and a bottle of bottom-shelf vodka in the other. A bag of plastic cups is tucked into the crook of her elbow. Fight with her mom, Eddie mutters, because it's not his right to go airing out Chrissy's home life to everyone. Even what Robin's just witnessed is hardly the half of it. "That woman hates me so much." Steve dumps the chips out on the picnic table next to the fire pit. "Yeah, well, if she liked you, Chrissy wouldn't." Nancy gives him a look. "Whatever you're about to say about how girls like what their moms hate, I need you to remember that my mom liked you, stupid." "Everyone likes me. I'm fantastic." Robin nearly spits out her beer. "If the King Dingus doth decree it so himself," she snarks. Steve tears open one of the bags and flicks a cheddar chip at her. If you think I won't eat that off the ground just to spite you, you're wrong. You're an animal. Nancy cracks the seal on the vodka and gets to work mixing her own drink. Her mom has always been such a bitch, she murmurs. We were friends in elementary school, and she used to make Chrissy these totally pathetic lunches, so I started asking my mom to make 2 sandwiches. The amount of vodka she pours into her cup is impressive, and Eddie considers asking her to make him a screwdriver as well. At least someone knows how to mix a fucking drink around here. The way it's going, he's gonna need something stronger than Steve's pisswater Miller Lite bullshit. Nancy sets aside her first drink and pours a second. And for a moment, Eddie wonders if Nancy Wheeler might have the ability to read minds. But no, she turns to hand it to Chrissy, who has come back from the house freshly scrubbed of mascara stains. Her eyeshadow is smudged at the corners, and Eddie thinks she's about the prettiest thing he's ever seen in his life as she smiles at him over the rim of her plastic cup. He gets about a half-second warning before he's got a lapful of former cheer captain, Chrissy kicking her legs over the arm of his chair to rest sideways as he cradles her back with his forearm. Eddie can't reach his beer now, but ask him if he gives a crap. There is another chair, you know, Steve says, looking amused. Chrissy hums into her drink. Yeah, but that chair doesn't have this. And she reaches up to tuck back his hair, plucking free the joint he'd rolled earlier and stuck behind his ear for safekeeping. Which means this chair is better. She's using me for weed, Eddie grumbles, and fishes for the lighter in his pocket. What else does he have hidden in that rat's nest? Robin asks, looking disturbed. And Chrissy tips her head back to grin at her, upside down. Wouldn't you like to know? And she can't even say it with a straight face, giggling as Robin grimaces. I really would not. And while Robin decides to heckle Steve about why he can't hide anything in his so-called legendary hair, Eddie lights it for her and watches as she takes a slow, measured inhale. That bad, huh? He murmurs, low enough only Chrissy can hear him. Chrissy sighs and offers it back to him. When he declines for the time being, she inhales again deeply. Yeah, she was in top form today. I'm okay now, though. This time he takes it from her, taking one quick pull and then gesturing for Robin to come get it. This is the weirdest friend group I think anyone could patchwork together, Robin mutters. But she doesn't pass it up, so Eddie thinks it's probably a compliment. When I go back in time and tell myself I'd be sharing a joint with Eddie Munson and Chrissy Cunningham. Why does everyone say my name like that? Chrissy complains, her shoulders falling. She gulps at her drink and mutters into the cup. And that's scary. Mean and scary, Eddie corrects, and Chrissy pouts up at him. He's still got his beer in the hand he can't use with his arm pinned behind her back, and while he could easily swap it out, that would mean moving his other palm off the side of Chrissy's knee. Absolutely not. He's got Chrissy fucking Cunningham in his lap, in a pair of denim cutoffs, holding her drink with both hands, and it's the cutest fucking shit he's ever seen in his life. Eddie's hands aren't going anywhere. Steve, sprawled in his own lounge chair, raises his beer. Cheers to fighting some weird fucking shit in this weird fucking town, guys. Call that a bonding moment. Robin swallows her mouthful of beer and raises her bottle grandiosely as she passes the joint to Steve. To whatever the fuck is wrong with Hawkins, she says. May we all get the fuck out of here before the next shitstorm touches down. I'm into that, Nancy murmurs. And Eddie thinks about exactly how she was forced to find out she's a pretty damn good shot. There's a history in Hawkins these past few years he's been unaware of, and Nancy Wheeler was already entrenched deeply in it by the time he got dragged in. The whole idea of it is terrifying. Chrissy shifts in his lap, just enough to rest her head against his shoulder. She's not exactly a lightweight, but vodka makes her sleepy, and Eddie wonders if he's going to have to carry her back to the van later. Like hell is he going to let her drive home. Not tipsy, and definitely not to a mother that made her cry. She doesn't have to go back to his place if she doesn't want to. He's sure Robin or Nancy would let her crash at either of theirs. Hell, Steve would probably give up his bed for any of them if they asked. And no matter where Chrissy wants to go, he won't mind carrying her there. Eddie considers it an honor that she's unguarded enough with him to let him do it, and trusts him to take care of her. Especially since he knows for a fact that Jason left her alone and drunk on someone's kitchen floor 2 years ago. School had talked about it for days, and Chrissy had walked around the hallways with her head down, ashamed, like it was her fault her boyfriend was an inconsiderate prick. His thumb strokes absent circles into the soft skin of Chrissy's knee, and he watches Robin argue with Steve about who paid for what chips. And it's such a stupid and dramatic and pointless argument, but it's a good distraction. And Eddie knows Robin picked the fight on purpose for entertainment's sake. Because Chrissy is still curling into herself, hiding under Eddie's chin with her drink. But they've got all night to help her forget what's waiting for her at home. And he knows everyone else is willing to take that challenge seriously. Chrissy asks him to go swimming with her. Eddie isn't stupid, and like hell is he a saint. She doesn't want to go to the Hawkins pool either. She won't say it, but Eddie knows she's got a thing about wearing her suit in public. Her mother is always in her head, and it breaks his heart. So he picks her up one hot July afternoon, radio blasting in front of her house because he knows she's the only one home. He doesn't even make it out of the van to go knock on the door before Chrissy comes flying out like a bat out of hell, beach towel whipping behind her and tote bag swinging against her side. She yanks open the door and hops in, leaning across the space between the seats to catch him in a kiss. She tastes like Jolly Ranchers against his tongue, and Eddie sighs as she pulls away to put her seatbelt on. "Hi," she says, like she hasn't already greeted him in the best way possible. "You're excited," he says, eyebrows up as he puts the van into gear. "I haven't been swimming in forever," Chrissy says. "Mom won't let me leave the house without makeup, so there wasn't much point." Now that she mentions it, her eyelids are suspiciously not blue. "Thanks for agreeing to go to the pit with me instead," she says, fishing in her bag for a pair of sunglasses. She slides them onto her nose and grins at him. Way too many people at the pool. The pit is what could generously be called a swimming hole, one that existed before the community pool had been built. Before then, it had been the local place for pretty much everyone, tucked down a back road past the trailer park. But it's more or less deserted now, and Eddie is more than okay with that. He coaxes the van down the minimum maintenance road with a hope and a prayer, while Chrissy hums along to the radio. It's not his normal selection, but he doesn't mind it, especially if it makes Chrissy happy to listen to it. She's got her sandaled feet hanging out the open window, propped up on his side mirror, and Eddie takes a moment to relish in exactly how relaxed she looks. It's a far cry from the terrorized girl who had come to find him in the woods. And those denim cutoffs of hers are his new summertime best friend. Nobody's looked so good in a pair of shorts since Daisy Duke. And Eddie thinks Chrissy could give her a run for her money. The pit is as vacant as he'd expected. Hawkins likes to pretend they're above such redneck bullshit as a swimming hole these days. But the dock is still in good condition, and the water looks like it always has, so he doesn't see a problem with it. He throws the van into park and climbs out to open Chrissy's door. He's never gotten around to telling her he'd fix the handle and she'd be able to open it from the inside again, instead of waiting for him to open it for her. Sue him! Eddie likes opening the door for his girl. Chrissy wolf whistles at him as she hops out. Where have you been hiding those legs, Munson? In the trunk, with all the other reflective gear, he grumbles, well aware of how pale he is in his swim trunks. Dayglow white isn't my color. Chrissy giggles at him and tugs her bag off the floorboard. They make their way out to the dock, where Chrissy spreads out her striped beach towel on the boards. Eddie did not bring one. We can share, she says absently as he drops down onto the dock beside her, digging into her tote bag once more. Did you at least put on sunscreen? Eddie looks at her blankly. Your tattoos will fade if you don't. Eddie sighs and holds his hand out for the bottle she's pulled from the depths of her bag. Chrissy doesn't hand it to him. She looks at him and bites her lip. Ah! Eddie swallows, and Chrissy blushes. I could do it for you, since you can't reach your back, she says. He didn't think these things happened outside the movies, and he definitely didn't think these things would ever happen to him. Especially since, in the movies, it's usually the other way around. But Eddie definitely isn't complaining as he turns his back to her and shucks off his shirt. There's something somehow more intimate about this than when they're screwing around in the back of his van. And he takes a sharp inhale through his nose at the first touch of her slender fingers on his shoulder, cold with sunscreen. Neither of them speaks, and Eddie hardly dares to breathe as Chrissy methodically covers his whole back, her soft hands gentle on his skin in a way he really doesn't think he deserves. She clears her throat. And when he glances over his shoulder at her to find her offering the sunscreen to him, her face is red all across her nose. Eddie knows he's hardly any better, and he does his chest and arms himself. Not nearly as thoroughly as Chrissy had for him, but what can you do? She's tied back her hair into a pretty French braid when he turns back around to hand her the bottle, and because God either loves or hates him, Eddie isn't quite sure. She's right in the middle of pulling off her t-shirt. Her suit is fuchsia pink with some sort of teal pattern, and Eddie notices this because he's trying very hard not to notice anything else. But Chrissy doesn't seem to mind, and stands up to tug off those shorts he likes so much, the matching bottoms making their appearance. You're so pretty, Jesus Christ, he mutters, and he's only half aware that he says it. Chrissy giggles and stuffs her clothes into her tote bag without an ounce of care before taking a running leap off the dock. She goes under with one hell of a splash, and Eddie crawls to the edge of the dock to watch her reemerge, resting his chin on his hands as he lays on his stomach. The pond water is cool and green-gray dark, barely 6 inches below him, and it runs in rivulets down Chrissy's delighted face as she swims back to him. She grips the edge of the dock to pull herself up to his face. He meets her there, chilled lips against his. What are you, a fish? He asks as she pulls back, still holding onto the boards. I did always want to be a mermaid, she says thoughtfully. I liked the part in Peter Pan with them.
Where they try to drown Wendy?
Chrissy wrinkles her nose, looking up at him reproachfully. Not that part, she says, and something glints in her eyes. But if you insist... She doesn't actually pull him with any sort of force into the water. Eddie has plenty of time to stop her if he wants to, as she reaches up to wrap her arms over his shoulders. But he lets her drag him in, and even comes up spluttering for effect, his hair stuck to his face like a wet dog. Chrissy's laughter is everything to him. And it still means everything later, when he's got her spread out on that striped beach towel, when he doesn't have any condoms, because when Chrissy had asked to go swimming, he wasn't about to make any assumptions, because he's not that kind of guy. And like hell is he about to prove all of her mother's nastiest vitriol about him correct, when Eddie takes her apart with his fingers, his name on her tongue, and a shy giggle in her throat as she comes back down to him. Eddie licks his fingers clean, and Chrissy watches him do it with pupils blown wide, surging up to flip them around and dragging her palm down the front of his trunks as he groans. Your turn, she says, and Eddie sees stars in the daylight. Eddie had kind of expected to deal with jealousy when he and Chrissy had become a thing. Of course, he'd been expecting the jealousy to be on his end, not hers. The owner of the hideout's been letting them fill in for their usual Friday night band, and while it's not as empty as Tuesdays, it's not exactly anything to write home about. Neither is the bar bunny who hangs around the service well, watching him with hungry eyes as they set up. She's not bad-looking, Eddie has to concede, but she's about twice his age and doesn't look like she's ever been told no. And besides, something better just walked in the door. Chrissy bounces on her toes as she sees him, waving excitedly at both him and the rest of the band. There's a simultaneous shout of, Chrissy! As she approaches the makeshift stage, and Eddie's so glad that his friends like her. He'd have to fight them if they didn't. She's wearing one of his shirts, so big on her it dips off her shoulder, and tucked into a pair of jeans he is very sure her mother doesn't know she owns. The dark red lipstick she's gone for tonight sets his heart to hammering, and what he wouldn't give to smudge it. Chrissy talks to them as they finish up, asking about tonight's set list, and listening intently as they discuss swapping out a song last minute. She makes a good point about Eddie not knowing the chords to the second choice very well, and they all have a good laugh about her knowing more about his skills than his ego does. And Eddie doesn't think she's clocked the woman eyeing him up, until Chrissy beckons him down, dangling her fingers into his necklace, and crooning, "Have a good show, baby!" Loud enough, there's no way that anyone could have missed it. Least of all, the bar area. He'd love to be mortified, but he's too busy ruining that lipstick of hers. You'd better figure out where you're going with her, Nancy says to him. And Eddie blinks.
To the county fair? Like, we all planned?
He asks, feeling incredibly stupid. He must be, because Nancy rolls her eyes. He knew he shouldn't have picked up Wheeler first. She's perceptive as shit, and always has something to say. Listen to me. As someone who has been there, she says, leaned up by his shoulder from the back seat. Everyone knows shotgun is for Chrissy. It sucks when you think you're on the same page as your boyfriend, and it turns out that you aren't. So don't do that to her. Chrissy's going to college. Figure out what that means for you, Munson. So he would like to thank Nancy for ruining his last few days of summer. Thank you, Wheeler, you sharp-shooting observant and too caring for your own good busybody. Because now he can't stop thinking about Chrissy dumping him. Despite all evidence to the contrary and his 2 years in super senior hell, he is not an idiot. He knows he's hardly got much of a future, and barely a thing to offer her. It had really tainted their trip to the fair. He couldn't even enjoy his cheese fries, much less Chrissy begging him to ride the tilt-a-whirl with her. Okay, total lie. He'd love that. But still. And he can't be too busy about it, because he knows that Nancy is right. Chrissy's leaving next week for upstate, her room half packed up already. Eddie doesn't begrudge her any of it. She needs to get out of that house to get better, and he wants so badly for her to get better. But he does wonder where that leaves them. "You're being awfully quiet," Chrissy says, and takes the chocolate shake out of his hand so she can take a sip. It's a step, and he's so proud of her for it. She's got his jacket on, her hands barely peeking out of the sleeves as she practically drowns in the leather. It sparks something in his chest, seeing her wearing it, because the August night is unexpectedly chilly. "Just thinking," he murmurs. And their friends would absolutely rip into him about that being a dangerous activity for him. But Chrissy just hums in acknowledgement. Her sneakers don't quite touch the ground from their shared perch out in the open back of his van, and he finds it so ridiculously charming. Eddie wonders if that's going to be one of the things he misses when this is all over. Something stupid, like how she swings her legs and steals his drinks. "Eddie," she says softly, "what's got you so freaked out?" What should be freaking him out is how well she can read him. But that's the thing that people don't get about him and Chrissy. Even before everything, before the demon shit and the hell on earth, they got each other. What it was like to look around a whole town full of people and find one person looking back at you like they could care. And he can't hide something like this from her. He won't. "Chris," he starts, and swallows, mouth dry as she looks at him expectantly. "Where do we go from here?" And he knows that she understands what he means, because Chrissy tilts her head at him, looking at him with those big eyes of hers, and chews on the straw. "I told you before," she says, reaching out to lace her fingers with his. Her hand is cold from being wrapped around the cup. "I don't want you to go. But I know I'm the one leaving," Chrissy says, smiling at him. "But I'm leaving Hawkins, not you." "You want to keep this going?" Eddie asks, tugging their entwined hands up to press a kiss to her knuckles. "I do if you do," she says. "I like you so much, Eddie. I don't want to lose you over a 2-hour drive." "I don't want you coming back just for me," he tells her. And Chrissy laughs, her eyes fond. "I mean it. I'll go up to you. Don't drag yourself back to this hell pit just because you missed me." "You're worth coming back for, Eddie Munson," she says, and tips her head up for a kiss that Eddie gives freely. "Whatever you say, Cunningham." The end. Author's notes. Ba-da! I don't really ever write anything over a T, and this is as spicy as it gets around here, sorry. This literally spawned from me laughing about the idea of Chrissy making Eddie roll for a kiss. And now, here we are. If you haven't read my other Eddie C works, you could check them out, maybe, possibly. IDK, man, I really liked this one. I hope you liked it too.
comment? Spare words? Please?